I'm going to be reading two scripture passages for the sermon. Both of these are familiar. The first five verses of the book of Genesis, and then the first five verses of the Gospel of John. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness God called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. In our spiritual quest to better understand and to experience what it means to connect with God, we've recently explored reconnecting with the sacredness of the earth and with all of creation. And last Sunday, we delved into reconnecting with compassion. As demonstrated by the Good Samaritan, compassion involves the courage to see the suffering of another, and the courage to feel, and perhaps most importantly, the courage to act. Compassion involves connecting the heart of your being with the heart of another's being. When we do that, we are connecting with God. Now this morning, again using the structure of John Philip Newell's book, The Rebirthing of God, Christianity's Struggle for New Beginnings, we move into something that is much more metaphorical in nature. Just what does it mean to reconnect with the light? Well, thankfully, the Bible provides a lot of guidance in this area because it is filled with deeply profound imagery concerning light. So let's start at the beginning. The opening verses in the Bible from Genesis 1 state, as you just heard, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and earth, the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind," which can also be translated as a breath or the spirit of God, "swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw that the light was good." So biblically, all of creation begins with light. And interestingly, this has been confirmed by modern science in the theory known as the Big Bang, stating it was light that burst the universe into being at the beginning of time. And theologically, it can be stated that light still pulsates at the heart of everything that has been created. Pulitzer Prize-winning poet Mary Oliver speaks of the light at the center of every cell. This is similar to a vision of the Irish theologian and early Celtic prophet John Scotus Eugenia, way back in the 9th century, who said that the light of God is the essence of all things. And he used an analogy of lines coming out of a central point. Picture a wagon wheel. And the further out any line moves, the more it appears to diverge from the other lines. But when we trace any line back to its source, we find a common point from which all things have come. So it is, Eugenia says, with everything that has been. Everything originates in the light of God. That implies, therefore, if somehow that light were extracted from the universe, all things would cease to exist. Well, that reminds me of one of the definitions of the late Reverend Dr. Harold Hill that he shared with an adult church school class one Sunday. He said, God is that which without there would be nothing. Try to wrap your mind around that. Without God, without the light of that flows through all things, there would be no life. So recognizing the light within all things, including yourself, is another way to acknowledge that we are not only made by God, but we are made of God. This is the light which we are being called to reconnect. And when we do that, we are connecting with God. Eugenia teaches that because the light of God is the essence of all things, everything then should be regarded as a theophany. You know what that word means? A theophany, a showing or revealing of the divine. That everything should point to that. Mary Oliver poetically writes, "It is not hard to understand where God's body is. It is everywhere and everything." So we are being asked, perhaps even challenged, to believe that divine light lies at the heart of every person. Acknowledging that allows us to recognize that it is a deeper part of our being than any division, whether it be race or gender or sexual orientation or nationality or even religion. And here's another implication of this way of understanding. If divine light is within all matter, then it can be found not by looking away from the earth, but rather by looking within everything that emerges from the earth. That is a very different spirituality from which I, and I suspect you, were raised. Exactly. So let's look now at how this specifically applies to Christianity. In his book, John Philip Newell suggests that when we recognize that the whole of life is suffused with the same light, we have a better understanding of the meaning of the nativity stories in the Gospels. He writes, "The sacredness of the Christ child, born of the marriage between heaven and earth, reveals the sacredness of the universe, conceived by the union of spirit and matter." And Scottish pastor George MacLeod, the founder of the Iona community in Scotland back in 1938, once declared that the very small ancient Celtic island of Iona is a thin place where only tissue paper separates material from the spiritual. You know, we can extend and expand that to realize that any place, at any time, can be a thin place. Where we can recognize that at the heart of the physical is the spiritual. Newell writes, "Hidden within the mundane," which is basically our daily lives, "hidden within the mundane is the divine. What we do with matter, therefore, is important, whether that be the matter of another's body in relationship or the matter of the earth's body and how we handle its sacred resources, or the matter of the body politic and how we honor the sovereignty of another's nationhood. All of this relates to the light that we worship in Christ." I'd like to ask that you reflect upon those times and places that have enabled you to bring into focus the light that is at the heart of life. For poet Mary Oliver, it is when she's in the woods. And perhaps that's one place where you find it as well. In her poem entitled, "When I Am Among the Trees," "Around me the trees stir in their leaves and they call out, 'Stay a while.' The light flows from their branches. And they call again. It's simple, they say, and you too have come into the world to do this, to go easy and to be filled with light and to shine. It is a powerful and transformative experience to recognize why we have come into this world, to be filled with light and to shine. Newell reflects upon the implications this way. It means knowing that we have a sibling relationship with everything that exists, and that the light that we glimpse in the trees, in the creatures, in the eyes of another is the light that is also within us. Do we know that we are bearers of this unspeakably beautiful light? Do we know that this light at the heart of our being is for one another and for the world? To be bearers of light, which we have to remember is a pure gift and not of our own doing, means that you and I are made to shine. As we heard with the children and all of us singing this morning and in the gospel passage from Matthew 5, a portion of what's known as the Sermon on the Mount, you, that's the most important word in that whole sentence, you, me, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. But sometimes, that light can be threatening to others, especially to those in power. Those who cling to power for their own sake or for the sake of their own chosen communities or their special interest groups do not want everyone to shine. The shadow side of power is a determination that only some should shine and that only some should be considered worthy. Have we not recognized that happening right before our eyes the past few weeks in response to marriage equality, the taking down of the Confederate battle flag, and yes, the refusal to remove the Ten Commandment monument from our own state capitol grounds? Those in power often see those who identify with the oppressed as a threat to their own self-interests. Just look at how that turned out for Jesus. Saying that, on the positive side, we also know that there is a relationship between light and reconciliation, one of the most important ministries to which we are called. There is an essential link between growing in an awareness of the light that has been showered upon all things and the work of coming back into relationship with all things. To see your face, says Jacob to Esau in Genesis 33, is like seeing the face of God. To be truly reconciled is to see the light at the heart of the other. So look around you today, right here in the sanctuary. Go ahead. Look for the light at the heart of each and every person, including within yourself. And fully aware of the opening words found in Genesis 1, the author of the Gospel of John mimics. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. From a Christian perspective, that which was recognized in the life and the ministry of Jesus of Nazareth was a new and profound revelation and understanding of the nature and character of God. That revelation brought life, and it is that. It was and is the light of all people. So you and I, and all of creation, are bearers of an embodiment of divine light. And we are called to bear witness to that light in and through how we live our lives. In other words, through our very being, we can each act as a thin place, connecting the physical with the spiritual. And using Newell's concluding words, here's your and my challenge for the coming week. Pay attention. See the light that is at the heart of this very moment and every moment. Know that we are full of light and can shine. Connect with God in and through a reconnection with the light. Amen.